Well, good evening. I am so glad that you're here with us again. This evening we're going to be in Psalm 21. So if you have your Bibles, you can be turning over there. And if you remember, we've actually spent the last 2 weeks looking at Psalm 20. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but Psalm 20 and Psalm 21 are actually two psalms that should be read together. They were written together. And so these two particular psalms, they're unique in that they are meant to be sung by Israel on behalf of their king and nation. We've been talking about that. And so Psalm 20, what it is, it's a prayer for the day of battle. And so for the last 2 weeks, we've been talking about the battle being that uncertain time. People are going to die. And so they're crying out to God to save them, and they're crying out to God to be their help and to be their rescuer. And so it's actually a look at finding hope in uncertain times. And so Psalm 21, what we're looking at this evening, it's actually a prayer of thanksgiving for winning the battle, for God coming. God has come through. He has done his thing. He has rescued. And so the battle is over. Israel has won. And so what this is actually a prayer of thanksgiving. And it's somewhat of a model of how we can give thanks to God. And so as I read this psalm, what I want you to do is I want you to notice the tenses of the verbs. It's in the past tense, and then as we move through the psalm, it moves to the future tense. And so that's going to be very, very important for us this evening. So let me pray, and then we'll walk through the psalm just a bit. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that you have given to us. You have shown us who you are and also who we are. We are sinners in need of a redeemer, in need of somebody who would rescue us, and you've done that. Lord, speak to us tonight. We ask that you would illuminate this text, give us ears that will listen, renew our minds. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. Psalm 21, to the choir master, a psalm of David. O Lord, In your strength the king rejoices, and in your salvation how greatly he exults. You have given him his heart's desire, and have not withheld the request of his lips. For you meet him with rich blessings. You set a crown of fine gold upon his head. He asked life of you. You gave it to him. Length of days forever and ever. His glory is great through your salvation. Splendor and majesty you bestow on him. For you make him most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence. For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. You will make them as a blazing oven when you appear. The Lord will swallow them up in his wrath, and fire will consume them. You will destroy their descendants from the earth and their offspring from among the children of man. Though they plan evil against you, though they devise mischief, they will not succeed. For you will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces with your bows. Be exalted, O Lord, in your strength. We will sing and praise your power. That's God's word. You know, it's actually quite easy to pray and come to God like when we're in trouble. Like when we hear the bad news, when the kids aren't doing well, when you're interviewing for that dream job that you have just been hoping for, when you're facing that uncertain time in your life, it's actually really, really easy to call out to God and to ask for help. As James Boyce said, even unbelievers will pray in times of sickness, danger, financial loss, or other hardship. And they say, oh God, what am I going to do? I mean, isn't that the truth? But it's much more difficult to pray after God shows up and gives his help, after he rescues, after you've gotten the job, when the kids are doing well, when he's saved us, when he's provided. I mean, we forget, right? And the thing is, even in the world, even in culture, I mean, everybody's beginning to recognize the need to live lives of gratitude. And so the practice of keeping a gratitude list is actually growing in popularity. It's becoming not an uncommon practice for business leaders or entrepreneurs or other leaders. A gratitude list actually in the morning is becoming, all these mental and health benefits have actually been documented. Just writing down things you're thankful for. Here's what it does. It reduces stress. It helps your relationships. It helps your physical health. It enhances empathy, and it reduces aggression, and it even helps you sleep better at night. Just writing down a few things every day that you are thankful for. And all these benefits, they come simply from just doing that and not even like praying to God. These are secular people that are saying that. And so imagine the benefits of regularly speaking to God about all the things that he has done for you and for us as a people. Imagine how God could use that in your life and the transformation that can happen in your life and in your heart if you not only wrote down what you're thankful for, but talked to God about what you are thankful for, how you are thankful for him in your life. But gratitude, it's not easy. And you might be thinking of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed, right? I mean, they were all thrilled. All were happy. All were made well by Jesus. But how many came back? Just one. And so we need to be reminded. And so that Psalm 20 and Psalm 21 that they're written together shows that Israel understood the importance of being thankful when God delivers and the importance of reminding us to give thanks. And so as we said, Psalm 20, it's a prayer for God's deliverance. It's a prayer for God's help. It's asking that Israel's king would be delivered right before the battle. It's for that uncertain time. And so God's people, they're going to God and praying for victory and for help. And so the 21st Psalm, it's a prayer for that thanksgiving. And so it's actually a great model for us for how we should give thanks to God. And so tonight we have 2 points. The first one is how we give thanks. And the second point is why we give thanks. So let's look at how we give thanks. And in this psalm, there are really just 2 ways that we see. And it's found in those tenses of the verbs that we talked about earlier. We give thanks to God for the past. And we also give thanks to God for the future. And so look at the past tense verbs that we see in those first 4 verses. Verse 2, you have given him his heart's desire. And so here's one of those links. I mean, that was specifically prayed for in verse 4 of Psalm 20. And there's a lot of links between Psalm 20 and Psalm 21. And so I would invite you this week, like, go through Psalm 20 and 21 and find the links. Find the key words that are in Psalm 20 and see how they're giving thanks for those things that were prayed for in verse 21. It would be a really, really good exercise for you. There's a lot there. Verse 3, you set a crown of fine gold upon his head. That's past tense. Verse 4, he asked life of you, and you gave it to him. This is all past tense stuff. These are all the things that God has already done. And the people, what they're doing is they're giving thanks to God for what has already happened. And so for us to show our gratitude to God, we have to recognize, like, what has God already done in our lives? And so we always need to be looking back to see how God has provided. And we all have reasons to give thanks to God for how he has helped us in the past. It looks different for everybody, but we can all look back and see how God has helped us. And so if have you never gone hungry for your entire life? Like most Americans, that's the case. And that's actually kind of a rare thing in humanity, to never actually starve. And you can thank God for that. He's been your provider. Have you been sick and seen God care for you? bring healing, give you the resources to go to the doctor. Well, you can be thankful for his help. Do you have a family that you love and care for, and they actually, it's one of those families where they love you back? Well, that is something that you can be thankful for. Do you have friends? Same thing. That is something to be thankful for. If you've been saved, if you've trusted Christ and have found Jesus to be your Redeemer, you can thank God for your salvation because you have already been rescued from your sin. There's always something that we can thank God for. The scriptures say that his mercies are new each day. And so what that means is at the end of every day, you have something. We all have something that we can be thankful for in the past, every day. And we can thank him. And when we see this, here's what happens. Our faith grows, and we begin to thank God for what he's going to do in the future. And we become less uncertain about what's going to happen in the future, the things we don't know about. You know, there's this principle that's just true of life. It's just true of people. It's this: the past is the best predictor of the future. And so the way a person behaves in the past will tell you most of the time, if not all of the time, what a person is going to be like in the future. And we all know this kind of instinctively, right? So if a person cheats you, like you do a business deal with them and they cheat you, you just know, you know what? That person probably will cheat me in the future. And so you're probably not going to trust that person anymore, right? But if you find a person to be gracious, you find them to be understanding, generous, empathetic, all those things, if all of that has been true of the person in the past, then you will likely believe that, you know what, that person is going to be like that in the future, right? And when you find that not to be true, it's really surprising. It can be like crushing. Those are the most crushing things. When somebody you really trust doesn't come through for you. So there are exceptions. People can change for better and for worse, but generally speaking, the past is the best predictor of the future. And we see that principle at work here in the psalm. So we see that they've given thanks to God for his work in the past. And so there's a lot of past tense action that's happened. But beginning in verse 8, everything moves to the future. Now, there's a little bit of debate about the identity of the person that's being addressed in this passage. I think especially in verse 8. It's you and yours. So people, you know, there's controversy. Like, is this the God or is this the king? And I think Boyce actually makes the point that it actually doesn't matter who's being addressed. If it's God, then God is achieving his work. If it's the king, then God is accomplishing his work through the king. And so Boyce, he calls this a distinction without a difference. And I think that's right. And so even though it's a little bit vague, the king or God, it's a distinction without a difference. And so the important thing here is that there is growing confidence in what God is going to do in the future. And it's because they've seen his rescue in the past. Look at verse 8. Your hand will find out all your enemies. Your right hand will find out those who hate you. That is future tense. Verse 9. You will make them as a blazing oven. The Lord will swallow them up. This is future tense. You will destroy their descendants. They will not succeed. You will put them to flight. You will aim at their faces. So you see what happens? When we remember what God has done in the past with thanksgiving, with gratitude, our confidence in the future grows. So these people have gone in Psalm 20 of being really uncertain of begging, and now they just know. They just know what God is going to do. And so when we know and remember and give thanks to how God has already helped us in the past, we begin to see that, you know what, he's always going to be our help. And what we find, if you're one of those people that are just like full of anxiety, we find that, you know what, the future doesn't scare us anymore. the past is the best predictor of the future. Past grace helps us see future grace, which brings us to our second and final point, and it's why we give thanks. And the reason we give thanks is actually in verses 6 and 7. It's right in the center of the psalm, where he's moved from past to future. Look at those verses. Verse 6, "For you make him the most blessed forever. You make him glad with the joy of your presence." And so, this is talking about the enjoyment that we can have today, right? It's talking about the enjoyment we can have today of future blessings. We can enjoy our future blessings today. This enjoyment is God's presence. He's with us and among us, and we can enjoy him. It's a taste of what we have to look forward to. And this is a wonderful reason to give thanks. And here's the reason there is joy in the next verse. Look at verse 7. "For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved." This verse, it's just absolutely loaded with covenant talk. So the key words here, they're steadfast love and trust. So steadfast love, it describes God's part in the covenant. The word in Hebrew is hesed, and if you know any Hebrew, I know very little. Bryce is about to know a lot. But there isn't a direct translation for this word into English. And so different versions of the Bible translate it different. It's translated as mercy, love, loving kindness. And in the ESV, it says steadfast love. And so whenever you see that in your ESV, you just know, like, this is the Hebrew word for that. It's been said that the most precious use of the word hesed in the Old Testament is as a description of what God does. Having entered a covenant relationship with his people, God bound himself to act toward them in certain ways, and he is utterly faithful to his self-commitment. And so his steadfast love, this is the quality of God's faithfulness to his people in his covenant with them. And the other word is trust. And so this is the king's, and this is the people's responsibility in the covenant. This is our responsibility. We trust God, and he saves us because of his unfailing love, because of his steadfast love. And if we know our Bibles, we know that the ultimate expression of God's steadfast love, it's Jesus. Only he can be said to have trusted God fully. Only he can say, like, he was never shaken. He always obeyed. And when we see this, we begin to see that, you know what? This psalm is pointing us to Jesus. Tim Keller, in his devotional on this psalm, he says, "Psalm 21 is a thanksgiving for the answered prayers of Psalm 20. The people have triumphed because their king has triumphed. But the language describing the king, what it bursts over its base, because you know what? That king isn't going to live forever. The psalm says he lives forever and ever and receives splendor and bliss unending." So we might think that this is just like hyperbole, like he's exaggerating. If we didn't know that these things are true of Jesus, this is talking about Jesus, the ultimate king. And the psalm isn't exaggerating. In him, the splendor, the intimacy with God, we see that in verse 6, and the assurance of that final triumph, it's ours. We have it. And Jesus' heart desire is our salvation, that we would trust. And so why should we give thanks? We give thanks because of Jesus. "For the king trusts in the Lord, and through the steadfast love of the Most High, he shall not be moved." This is all pointing us to Christ. And if you are in Christ, you will not be moved. Why? Why is this true? It's because if you know Jesus as your Redeemer, if you're a Christian, then this psalm is a reminder of the goodness of the gospel and all that we can be thankful for. Jesus has defeated our ultimate enemy. And we have a hope that is true. We have a hope that will last, a hope that is sure. And we know that God is going to deliver on what he promises, because we've seen that in the past. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, make us a people that are full of gratitude for all you have done. Help us remember your faithfulness to us in the past, and let us walk with confidence in the future, knowing that you are going to care for us. And you've made all the provisions we need in Christ. You've redeemed us through his life, his death, his resurrection. And because of Jesus, we can know your presence today and tomorrow. And there is so much that we can thank you for. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.